this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. Joe is on the last leg of his time away. I'm blessed to be able to share God's word with you tonight. And the good news is I usually teach the children here at church, so I promise that this will be at a low shelf level. We love to keep God's word simple. God has made and revealed his word to be simple through his spirit, and so that even the children can understand his word. And so we're going to get into God's word tonight. But before we start, what I'd like to do is ask for maybe just two ushers to come up. And I want to pass this basket, or these baskets around. And in these baskets, you will see stones. Now, some pastors and teachers would think it crazy to give the congregation stones before they teach the word of God. But we are going to talk about God's faithfulness tonight. Now, you can take one, take two. That's probably about the limit, because I want to make sure there's enough for everyone. And just hold on to those stones, and we'll explain them later and explain what the purpose is of them. Remembering God's faithfulness, and as we look tonight to remember God's faithfulness, it is so important. We see in the times that we live right now how the attacks that we go through, the challenges, the trials we go through. I just want to ask you a question. As you're going through trials, or you're going through attacks, or you're going through battles, when you think about the things that are distracting you, how often do you go, wait, I'm being distracted from God's faithfulness? Oftentimes, we can forget God's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is something that is not only true, faithfulness is something that's authentic, faithfulness is something that is reliable, and God is all three of those. He is true, he is faithful, he is reliable, and he is authentic. The enemy loves to attack and get us distracted from God's faithfulness, and get us to forget what God has done for us. You know, for some, it could be I got saved back in the Jesus movement days. But oftentimes, how often do you remember that moment? How often do you remember that amazing work that God did when he saved you? And actually, you know, I brought my own stone. I've got a few of them. But I thought I'd bring this one tonight. This one I brought from home. It's just a little stone. It's really soft. It's a little stone represents something incredible to me, though. It represents the day that Jesus saved my soul and pulled me out of the pit of despair. And I keep this rock on top of my dresser. I see it every morning. I see it every night. And I see this rock, and it reminds me that no matter what I'm going through in life, I remember God saved me when I was in my ugliest, most sinful condition, when I was rebelling against God, when I was in my worst state. He died for my sins. And I remember God's faithfulness. This is my stone, and as I said, I have a few of them. And like I said, I'll explain in more detail the stones that you have just picked, because it will, I promise it will have meaning tonight. This is something I've done with the high school here, with the junior high. We tried this with the kids once. The little guys don't need stones. I learned a valuable lesson with that one. So I give them little plushy animals, something soft. Because inevitably, everything you give a kid gets thrown or gets slingshotted or, you know. Anyway, so we don't give the kids the stones, the little guys, anymore. Let's remember God's faithfulness tonight. One of the most important areas in our life is remembering God's faithfulness. It strengthens our faith. It encourages us. When we look back at what God has done, It gives us strength for what God is going to do. It's that assurance we need. And God's faithfulness truly is wrapped up in everything he is and everything he does is all wrapped up in the faithfulness of God. It's kind of incredible when you stop and think about it. And we'll get into the scriptures tonight. We're going to look at a few stories in the scripture of God's faithfulness and how the people of God were called to remember what God has done here. Remember what he has done. I jotted down just 10 items here that are noteworthy, I believe. God's faithfulness and what God's faithfulness does. God's faithfulness changes us. When God calls us to himself, we go from darkness to light. Because of God's faithfulness, we are called from darkness into light. He changes us, his faithfulness. God's faithfulness gives us value. When we see the cross on Calvary and we see the price that was paid, that God would sacrifice his only son for our sins, it gives us value, that we are worth. We are worth something to God. We are precious to God. So his faithfulness gives us value. God's faithfulness also protects us. When we pray for direction on things, and God lovingly directs us in the right path, it's his faithfulness that's directing us and protecting us as his children. God's faithfulness provides more than enough for us. He gives us far more than enough. For every work that God has called us to do, not only does he prepare us to do it, but he also provides all we will need to accomplish his will. All that we need to accomplish it. He provides more than enough for us. God's faithfulness sustains us. His faithfulness sustains us. It holds us together, keeps us balanced. We rely on his faithfulness, not in anything our hands are doing, and not in any works of our that we are doing, but all in the work that Jesus did on the cross, God's faithfulness. He sustains us. God's faithfulness cleanses us. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is because he is faithful. God's faithfulness cleanses us. 7, I jotted down here. God's faithfulness is revealed to us through prayer. We see God's hand working through prayer. We see God show up in a big way, do amazing works through prayer. Why? Because God is faithful. He says he will. He says, when you pray and you seek me, you will find me. And I will hear your prayers. He will answer our prayers. Now, we may not agree with his answers at times, but he will answer us, and he will be revealed through the prayers. 8, I jotted down here. God's faithfulness is so far beyond us. All that we could comprehend and all that we can imagine, God's faithfulness is far beyond that. The work that he wants to do is far greater than anything we can imagine. The work that he wants to do through you personally in touching lives around you and being a light to a dark world is far greater than we can comprehend or imagine. He is doing an incredible work in all of us. And his work that he is doing, because he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus, because he's faithful. God is faithful. Because he's faithful, his faithfulness is far beyond us, beyond our comprehension. That's good news. That's good news, especially when we go through times in life where we feel like we're stepping into the unknown, or we're stepping into a void that we don't know what's going to happen next. We're just taking a step by faith. You can rest assured and be assured that God's faithfulness will cover and is bigger than anything we're going through. He is faithful. 9, I jotted here. God's faithfulness is demonstrated by his power in us and around us. The faithfulness of his power working in us and around us. The things that God has us to do that we look at and we go, there is no possible way this can happen. But with God, all things are possible. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. He's authentic. He is true. And his power is demonstrated. The power of his faithfulness is demonstrated in us and around us. For those who become born-again believers, when you place your trust in Jesus and you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God is demonstrating his faithfulness in you. He has allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. How incredible is that? So his faithfulness is demonstrated by his power in and around us. We'll see some of that tonight. And then number 10, God's faithfulness is shown, most importantly, through his love for us. His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. While we were in our lowest state, in our lowest point in life, God adores us, and he still died for us. God's faithfulness is shown through his love for us, his faithfulness. Let's pray, and we'll get into the scriptures tonight. Father, we love you so much. Lord, I want to commit this time to you as we get into your word. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, that we would be encouraged, perhaps challenged. And Lord, but above all, Lord, help us to see your faithfulness tonight. Let us see your faithfulness, Lord, as we dig into your precious word. Speak to us and change us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to grab a drink of water. Is the heated back up again today on us? And kind of tricky because it was cooling down for a couple days. And I'm a Northwest boy, so I'm still not used to the desert. And God is good. God is good. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us that if we are faithless, God, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. What an amazing scripture that is. And before we get into, we're going to be going to Exodus chapter 17. And as you're turning there, what an amazing scripture that is. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even when we fall short, God still remains faithful. God's still in charge. God's still holding us. He'll never let us go. He'll never leave us. That's good news for us. He remains faithful, and it says, for he cannot disown himself. This is who God is. This is who he is. God is faithful. And I don't say that in the term of saying that God is like the word faithfulness, but no, God is faithful. Just as God is love, it is God. He is faithful. He is faithful, and he cannot disown himself, stating that he is indeed faithful. God's faithfulness is truly wrapped up in all he is, and all that he has done, and all that he's going to do. So let's look at a few sections of scripture tonight. If you would turn with me, if you're not already there, Exodus chapter 17. So here in this section of scripture, we're going to read from verse 8 through down through verse 16. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were held steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And so Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek for generation to generation. So here's a situation with Moses where they are getting ready to face the Amalekites. They're getting ready to go into battle. There were times of being unsure, even though God was speaking to Moses and letting him know the plan of attack here, there was still an uncertainty of what was going to happen. And so as Moses held up the staff, as his arm was up, it says that Joshua was defeating Amalek. But when his arms went down, then Israel began to be defeated. And so it was a battle that seemed like it was humanly impossible to win. But again, with God, all things are possible. And we see that as Moses' arms were tired, that we see that Aaron and Hur came alongside and held his arms up. I want to point out just a point out of this section of Scripture. It is so important to come alongside brothers and sisters and lift them up in prayer. Oftentimes we can become so weak and so discouraged or beat up that we feel like our arms are just, we can't lift them. We can't lift them. And we need to come alongside our brothers and sisters and love and pray for them. As the Scripture tells us, to bear one another's burdens, pray for one another. And we see that in Hur and Aaron here. They come alongside Moses, hold him up. And of course, they win the battle. But Moses builds an altar. Now, this is important. All through Scripture, especially we see here through the Old Testament, many, many times when God would do an amazing work, they would build an altar. They would build what they say a memorial, which means remembrance. And it would be out of stones. All the altars would be built from stone. In fact, God would command over and over through Scripture, this shall not be made from stones that are hewn from human's hands, because the work of God is nothing to do with human hands. And he would say, use earth. Make me an altar of earth. And so it would be natural stones all through the Old Testament. This is one of those times here that we see God was indeed their banner. He said he built this altar, Moses did, and he built the altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. That means that God is going before us, God is with us, and God is also behind us. It is almost like a battle march as the soldiers would battle and carry their flags with a banner waving. God goes before us, he goes with us, and he's behind us. He has got us completely covered. God is our banner. The Lord is our banner. And that's what Moses named this. And he built this altar. He built this altar here out of stones. This was built to remember this moment. This was built to remember God's faithfulness here. It was built to remember that God is with us. And God is going to stay with us. He is going to carry us. And he is going to be with us all through eternity. This is not just a part-time relationship we have with God. We are not timeshares. This is an eternal salvation that we have in him. And this is an eternal God who works outside of time is going to hold us forever. It's going to hold us forever. And Moses built this altar to remember this time of God's faithfulness. For it was God who went before them and gave them the victory. God prepared the way before Moses even got there for the battle. In fact, if you back up a couple verses into 6 and 7, it tells us, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb." I will stand before you, the Lord tells him. I will stand before you. He prepared for him. He prepared this battle. He says, "Also take in your hand your rod which you struck the river with and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. And so he called the name the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This was the doubting part. This is where the fear in the battle came in. Because what just happened with the rock, when Moses smote the rock, the Lord said, "Just hit the rock, water will pour out." And of course, Moses beat the rock, misrepresented who God was. But nonetheless, God says, "Go, I will go before you, I will prepare this for you." And he's preparing this battle when Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. God has prepared this whole battle. He has went before him. And I love that statement, "Behold, I will go before you." God's faithfulness. Moses builds this altar with the stones. He gives thanks for the victory over the Amalekites. And Joshua, the battle with the Amalekites. The Lord is our banner. So this is a reminder that God goes before us in all things. He prepares our path, and we must remember because of God's faithfulness in going before us. I'm reminded of what Ephesians 2:10 tells us, one of the most beautiful scriptures in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What this verse tells us is we all have a calling. We all have a plan that God has for our life. None of us are just floating around, going to and from randomly. God has a specific plan for each one of us that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should walk in that path he has for us. You are his workmanship, created in Christ. God has a plan for us. That's one of the memorials I wanted to share with you, one of the altars that was built with stones. All through the scriptures, there is more to be said about stones, I think, than any other inanimate object. Really, I mean, the stones were for remembrance. We know that the stones were also used for discipline. We know that stones were also used to build the church upon. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We know that there are many uses and significant stories tied into stones. Many significant stories. But tonight, again, I want to remember God's faithfulness. Moses built the altar to remember his faithfulness. If you turn to the right with me to Joshua chapter 4. Fast forwarding a little bit, I want to look at another event here where we see the purpose of stones to remember God's faithfulness. Joshua chapter 4. So the children of Israel are now getting ready to cross the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River to partake of the promise God had given them, to bring them to the promised land, to give them complete victory. And Joshua chapter 4 says, verse 1, And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where priests' feet stood firm, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom had been appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time coming, come saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial, or a remembrance, you could say, to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. And then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. And then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before, as until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. They were called to place these stones, grab these 12 stones. Of course, as they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant over the Jordan, it says that it was during the harvest time when the Jordan was just flooding over the banks, almost like rivers, rapids, almost like rapids. It seemed impossible. How can we cross the Jordan and keep the Ark of the Covenant dry as we carry across? There's no way. but God made a way. In fact, God separated the Jordan River and made it dry land to walk through, just as he did with the Red Sea, it says, so that God's people could walk right through and make it safely to the other side with dry feet. And they were to set these stones in Gilgal, where it says that they are there to this day. These stones are to be there. Why? So when the children says, what are these stones for? What's the purpose of these things? That we would tell our children, here's where God was faithful. I have my stone. And one day, when one of my kids asks what the stone is for, I can tell them that God saved me. I can tell them that your dad was a wreck, that he was face down on the floor. He was consumed with drugs, alcohol, mental illnesses. And I can tell them that as I cried out to the Lord, he heard my cries. And he reached down and saved Dad and pulled him out of the pit of despair. That's my stone. God is faithful. It was to remind the people of the mighty hand of God so that the whole earth, it says, would know the Lord is mighty. That the whole earth would know his mighty hand, that he is mighty, and that we would fear, that we would reverently trust the Lord. This is why it's so important to remember God's faithfulness. You know, there's a danger in forgetting God's faithfulness, and this is why all through Scripture, every time God did an amazing work, they were called to set up some type of an altar or a memorial right there on the spot, recalling what God just did, because we are forgetful. We are forgetful. God instituted the Lord's Supper as we break bread and have communion. Why do we do that? To do this in remembrance of him. To do it in remembrance of what he did on the cross. Why? Because we are so prone to forget the goodness of God. We are so prone to forget God's faithfulness. And in our lives, and I'm speaking for myself, in my life, there are times when the battle seems intense or the trial seems intense, it's usually one of the last resorts I go to is God's faithfulness, when it should be the first. Because if you go to God's faithfulness, automatically you're going to go to prayer, because God is faithful to hear our prayers. Automatically you're going to go back to trusting in God, because God is faithful. He can be trusted. He's authentic. He's the real deal. He's authentic. He's trustworthy. He is faithful. When we look at God's faithfulness, it brings us back into the right perspective of who God is. And we definitely need to be reminded of that. All of us do. Psalm 150, verse 1 and 2. You can turn there or I'll just read it. You're welcome to turn there with me. Psalm 150, verse 1 and 2. My poor Bible. The pages are getting very soft. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him in his mighty acts. His mighty acts. God is mighty, folks. These 12 stones were placed to remember the mighty hand of God. Psalm 106, verse 7 and 9 reminds us also. 106, verse 7 and 9 reminds us. It says, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not Remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. That he might make his mighty power known. Folks, we serve an awesome, mighty, powerful God. A mighty God. Powerful. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds in our life." God's power is mighty. And back to the statement I made at the beginning, that God's faithfulness is shown by his power that working in us and around us. That we could obtain, these weapons of warfare by God, that we would have his mighty power for pulling down strongholds in our life. You know, wherever we're weak, wherever we fall short, if we take it to God and say, "God, I can't do this, but you can," he will fashion us a weapon, if you will, for pulling down that stronghold in our life. And I really believe that as we go through life, we have strongholds that come into our life that try to pull us away from God and distract us. And then we take it to God and he delivers us from it. But guess what happens? Another one comes up. You know, we're not going to arrive anytime on this side of heaven. But we must do our best to stay faithful to God in remembering his faithfulness. It is so important for the Christian to remember the faithfulness of God. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Here we see an answer and a solution to the answer. The imperative here is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that his mighty hand can exalt us and hold us up. That's the imperative. That's the goal. Verse 7 tells us how to accomplish that. The means for accomplishing that, casting all your cares upon him. You want to be sustained and you want to be held up by God and encouraged by God, by his mighty, mighty awesome hand, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. God gives us an antidote here in 1 Peter. Tells us first what we need. We need to be humbled in the sight of God and under his mighty hand. We need to surrender our cares and our anxieties and worries to him. When we do that, then his mighty hand will hold us up. I'm going to read out of Psalm 77, as we're here in the Psalms. Psalm 77, verse 11 through 15. This is a Psalm of Asaph. It says, "I will remember the works of the Lord," verse 11. "Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? No one. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples, and you have with your arm redeemed your people." What a beautiful section of scripture that is to really hold on to. To remember the works of the Lord, remember the wonders. And this is why I have my stone. Salvation. God has saved and redeemed me. He has performed an amazing work by delivering this sinner right here. And I have this stone to remind me of his unfailing love and pulling me out of that pit of despair. And why do I have it? So I will remember the works of God. I will remember what he did, and I want to remember the wonders of old. I want to remember that first encounter I had with Jesus when he just completely changed my life. I want to remember that time when I truly became born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was forgiven of my sins. I want to remember that. And oftentimes I need to be reminded to go back to that. Go back to the cross. Go back to where this relationship started with the Lord when I first acknowledged him. Go back to that place. That's why I have my stone. This one reminds me of that. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 12. Right at this point in time, here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, well, actually, we'll start it back in verse 2, I'm sorry, not verse 12. At this time, right now the children of Israel are dealing with the Philistines. This is before Saul is brought in to be king. God's people, Israel, was battling with the Philistines. They had just retrieved their ark, which was captured and taken. The Philistines had come in. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant. They had taken the Ark of God. The people were without their worship. They were without that symbol of God's faithfulness. And the people of God, Israel, had just gotten their Ark, and they were dealing with the battles of the Philistines. And we see here the prophet Samuel is going to take some stones and build an altar. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Verse 2 of chapter 7, 1 Samuel. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath in Jearim in a long time. It was there 20 years, and all of the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now, 20 years without the ark. 20 years without that symbol of God's faithfulness to look at, to worship. It says, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. And so the children of Israel put away the Baals, they put away the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. And so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And so here's a section of scripture we look at where the children of Israel were indeed captive by the world, if you will. They were captivated by false gods, false religions. They had turned their back against God. They weren't serving God anymore. And Samuel the prophet says, look, if you turn your hearts back to the Lord, and if you get right with God, he says that God will indeed bless you, but you have to turn your hearts back to him. You have to remove the false idols, remove the worshiping of false gods, and remove all those things, and turn back to him. And God will take care of us. But still, it says when the Philistines came up against the children of Israel, the children of Israel were afraid. And fear comes in. This is one of those times where it's like, what is going to happen? This is like the great unknown here. Not sure what's going to happen, what's going to take place, but they are trusting in God. It says, now when the Philistines heard that they had gathered, they came up against the children of Israel, and they were afraid. And verse 8 says, so the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord answered him, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines, they drew near to battle against Israel. But check this out, guys. The Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and it so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth Kar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. A thunder from the Lord completely disarrayed the Philistines. It had them so confused that they were literally just walking in circles, not knowing what they're doing. Have you ever seen a boxing match and somebody is getting just really lit up in a boxing match and they get a good one and the guys are standing there like this, right? Dazed and confused, getting ready to go down. That's how it was with the Philistines here. They were dazed and confused. They just heard that loud thunder from the Lord and it just completely confused and disarrayed them. And while that happened, the children of Israel were able to overtake the Philistines. See, this is how God works in our life too. He'll take those battles that we're in that seem impossible, and he'll do something just supernatural that we can't even fathom because his faithfulness is far beyond us in our understanding. He will do something that will just completely stumble the enemy and what's happening in our life so that we can have the power to overtake that stronghold or overtake that battle and have victory in the name of Jesus. And that God is glorified in our life. This is one of the coolest sections of scriptures here, I think, because we see God just physically taking care of the situation with the thunderous boom. Just completely disarrayed the Philistines. Way to go. I love the way God works. It gets me excited. It gets me excited because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday. He's the same right here as he is today and forever and always. He's still the same God. He's still the same miracle worker. And it gets me excited to think that God is going before me in all things. He's going before you in all things. He is going with you through all things. And he has got your back too. He has got the whole situation in his hands. There's nothing in your life that is going unnoticed by God. Not one thing. Not one thing. Everything God is very, very much well aware of in your life. And the command of the children of Israel here to see this victory was to turn your hearts to God. To turn your hearts to God. Just like we read in 1 Peter, that if we would cast all our cares upon him, if we would turn our hearts to him, worship him, serve him, God will do amazing things in our life. God is still a miracle-working God. He is still the same God, and he's still working miracles in our life. He's still working miracles in our life. Don't give up on what God is doing in your life, because God is not done with you yet. God is not done with you. He has a plan for your life, a purpose. And that purpose is going to be accomplished until the day of Christ Jesus, when we see Jesus face to face. When does the work end that God has for us here? When we see him face to face. God is working in us, and he has a plan for us. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. The prophet Samuel took these stones and he placed them between Mizpah and Shen. The name of this memorial is Ebenezer, which means help or an aid, to give help. Because the Lord showed up in a big way and helped. You know, there's many scriptures that tell us and remind us about how much God helps us. Psalm 33, verse 18 to 21, it says, Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. He is our help and he is our shield. God is going before you. God is with you. God is behind you. He is completely carrying us. We must recognize and remember God's faithfulness. Because also, we don't want to get ripped off in denying who God is and steal our joy and wonder where our joy is at. David said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The thing that gives me energy, the thing that gives me the power to get up when I don't feel like getting up, the joy of the Lord. And what is that joy? The joy of our salvation, which is the joy of the Lord, which is really remembering God's faithfulness. Because of his faithfulness, because of his faithfulness, we can proclaim the joy of the Lord. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and we may find grace to help in time of need. He's our helper. God is for us. He is for us. He is not against us. But we have to have hearts that are turned to him. We have to have hearts that are turned to him and prepared to worship him and surrender to him and cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. And let God exalt you. God will lift you up and he will sustain you. You know, Deuteronomy 8, verse 19, we get a warning here of, you know, the danger in forgetting what God has done. There's a danger in it. One of those things that happen, we start to lose our joy. We start to lose peace, unrest, sleepless nights. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes we just need to get back to God's faithfulness and meditate on God's faithfulness and his love for us. But Deuteronomy 8:19 says, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. There really is a danger in, number one, being a child of God and forgetting who God is and forgetting what God has done. What happens is, unknowingly, what happens is we start to replace God in our heart with idols, foreign idols of worship, false God, just like he said here in Deuteronomy, follow other gods and serve them and worship them. There are many different other gods that we can worship. You know, there are many gods out there that we can just worship and to take the place of the true God. Anything that takes the throne of our heart, takes that place that God belongs, is a false idol. And it becomes an object of worship. It is a false god. We can. What happens when we forget? It says, if you forget what God has done and you don't remember him, these things will come in like a flood. So we have to guard our hearts, right? We have to protect our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. And we have to guard our minds in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest ways to do that is remembering God's faithfulness. I want you to be encouraged tonight to remember God's faithfulness in your life. And these stones that we handed out, what I'd like you to do is, number one, I want you to keep these stones. You know, they're little. They might seem insignificant to the world. You might even get people to ask questions about them. I want you to take the stone home. I want you to put it in a place that you'll see it and remember. Maybe you even put it in your sock drawer. I put mine on my dresser. I have one in my sock drawer. And I have one in my office. I want you to associate a time in your life that God showed up in a major, major way and showed himself faithful. And I want you to attach it to that stone you have. I want you to attach it to that stone you have. And I want you to place that stone where you'll be encouraged to see it. And so when you see it, you can remember God's faithfulness. Like I said, this one is a stone that represents my salvation when God delivered me from the pit of despair. This is a very, very important stone to me. And I keep it where I see it to help remind me. Because we need to be reminded. Now, I'm not saying to go and dangle this on your necklace or hang it in your car and worship the rock. Don't worship this. What I'm saying, though, is just as the children of Israel needed to be reminded, God said, hey, take stones you haven't cut. Just take stones from the earth. Just place it there and name it that I am faithful. Just name it that I am faithful. I am your banner. I am your helper. I am your guard. I am your shield. I am your strength. All these different times in Scripture. He says, just take a rock, place it there, and name it to remember what I did for you. And so I want to encourage you to take the stone you have and tie a time that God showed up. Now, I'm sure there are many times we could have story after story, God stories of where God showed up and was faithful. I want you to take a time that was one of the most amazing, if not the most amazing time God showed up in your life. I want you to attach it to that stone, and I want you to keep the stone nearby to remind you of God's faithfulness. We handed these out to the kids. The first one I got was at a South Bay Children's Conference, and it was about 6 or 7 years ago. We went to 6 years ago. We went to a South Bay conference, children's ministry, and we showed up, and they had the opening worship, and the guy handed out a bunch of these stones, and I was like, "What am I gonna do with that?" You know, and he told me the story of Joshua, and he explained that story as they crossed over the Jordan, and how they placed the stones there to remember what God has done. And he said, take your stone and put a time where God showed up, attach it to that stone just as a reminder to help us remember God's faithfulness. The most important stone, most important rock is Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:18, he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You can stamp that scripture to your stone too. Because you are a child of God, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. They shall not prevail. We are a part of the body of Christ. This is his church bought by his blood, and he has the victory. God has victory. One last scripture I want to share with you as we're closing up here. Revelation 2:17. Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. God wants to give us new life, a new work, fresh mercies. I want you to take your stone that only you will know what is attached to it. I want you to take your stone, put it in a place that it's safe, wherever you want. But my prayer is that it will help encourage you to remember God's faithfulness in your life. I see this stone so many times. I can't tell you how many times I look at it. When I'm discouraged or I'm upset or I'm going through a battle, and I'll turn over on my bed and see this stone just sitting there. And it just brings me back. It brings me back to that day when I met Jesus, the lover of my soul, the one who's never going to leave me. And I'm reminded he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Because he loves us. He died for us. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you, no matter what you're going through. Jesus is acquainted with your sorrow. He's acquainted with your grief. Jesus knows exactly how you feel, no matter what you're going through. And so be encouraged tonight to remember God's faithfulness. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. Remember his faithfulness. Be encouraged that God is for you. He's with you. He's going before you, and he's got your back. He's not going to let go of you for nothing. He said, nothing will pluck you out of my hands. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I shall not lose one. That's the words of our Savior. He ain't going to let you go. He's never going to let you go. You are secure in his arms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the precious blood that was shed, Lord. We lift up these precious people above us today, Lord. That they just fill the parking lot today, Lord, believing that today is a day of atonement for them. And how sad and heartbreaking it is, Lord, that we sit down here under your precious word with secure, eternal atonement through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would open their eyes upstairs, that you would remove the veil, that they would see Jesus, their Messiah. Lord, we pray for them. And Lord, for those who are in here tonight, Lord, that are struggling, and maybe there's some in here tonight that are going through trials right now and tests, physical ailments, sicknesses. Where there's a lot of hurt, Lord. So, Lord, I pray you would comfort and touch each and every one of us tonight, Lord. That you would continue to encourage us and strengthen our faith. Would you increase our faith, Lord? Would you increase our faith that we would trust in you more? Would you, Lord, would you bring to remembrance your faithfulness in our lives? Help us to remember your goodness. Help us to remember your truth. Help us to remember, Lord, that you are authentic and that you are real, Lord. You are so real in our lives. You alone are God and worthy to be praised. So we give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise. And I pray that, Lord, that we would all just leave this place, Lord, with a greater awareness of your faithfulness, because it's so important, God. We need to remember you daily in our prayers, our time in the Word. And so wherever it is that we may be struggling, Lord, would you help us, Lord, where there are strongholds in our life? Would you help us, Lord, help fashion those weapons, Lord, to bring those strongholds down? That we would glorify you, that we would give you praise, Lord, because you alone are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for us. Thank you, Lord, that you say that we were the joy set before you that caused you to endure the cross. That we were your joy. Lord, we are not worthy. But you love us so, Lord. Help us to realize that. Help us to realize your great love for us. Just bless those who are here tonight, Lord. Bless every one of my brothers and sisters here. Whatever it is they're going through, Lord, I pray you would meet needs, that you would touch and bring healing where there's sickness, Lord. That you would, Lord, draw close to each of us, and that we, Lord, would desire to draw close to you because we desperately need you, Lord. So help us, Lord. Help us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. We all pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. That's